You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Super obsessive about my fandoms, you know.
When you were a kid?
Yeah. Well, I mean, to the point where, like, when I actually got a video camera, which was an old Betamax camera with where you had to carry around, like, a 70-pound Betamax player on your back with it, the first thing we did was, let's make our own Doctor Who episodes. You know, we're like, that was a thing that I know people still do. But we were fortunate enough to have many obsessions.
At what point did you stop being obsessed with fandom in general? Because
it's never been just
staring
one
around
thing.
In the living room.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, please tell me that this conversation doesn't finish with the words porn spoof.
No, it does not.
Okay, we're good.
Because the camera broke. But that was next on the docket. Yeah, that wouldn't have happened. I'm too shy. Anyone who knows me is like, no, you totally would have done it.
Moving on and ripping out my eyes.
But I still know people. I see friends online who are like, just seem to pick that one thing. They have that. They're like, yeah, I like that other stuff, but this is the thing I do everything for and can do. And those are always the people who are like, I don't care what you say. Batman and Robin is a good movie. Those are the same guys. You know, we're like, I love Batman, and if it has Batman in it, it can't be bad by definition, right? Okay, so then we come to this
DC
movie.
DC fans send your angry letters to Christopher Cox.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Or the last.
Fucking Marvel fanboy. Which is their defense.
Hey, the shoe fits, mate.
Brigsby Bear is the movie we're talking about, which is one... is unfortunate the right word? Like, a young man? Unfortunate doesn't feel like the right word.
It's...
You know, it's like he's a...
The term is... the whole setup. Because this is one of these films that the setup is not what you think it is within the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
The first 10 minutes is not what this film is about.
Yeah.
And yet it's everything this film is about.
Yeah. The story here that we're dealing with, Cal Mooney plays James Pope, who, when we meet him... He is arrested development 20-something.
Living in a post-apocalyptic world, yeah. What it seems like, where the technology never really advanced past the mid-80s. And yet, things seem a little bit odd. Like, once we kind of get a window into the outside world, like, there's fake creatures. And then we kind of realize that there's something going on when his, apparent father, played by Mark Hamill,
hooray,
drives off. And then he walks outside later, and cop cars are showing up. And sure enough, his entire life has been a lie.
Yeah, he's been living in this bunker with Mark Hamill and Jane Addams as his, quote, parents, who have a very odd set of rituals around things that they do. Mm-hmm. His whole life centers around a character named Brigsby Bear, who is the lead character in a very long-running series of episodes.
25 volumes, yeah, one for each year, apparently.
They said, like, 730-some separate episodes of this character, who's, like, a children's character, but then has all these, like, deep sci-fi things going on.
Yeah.
And each also episode... very weirdly specific morals at the end of every episode.
Yeah. And like lessons
seem,
as well.
That like seem they go, a little bit specific to him.
Yeah, we see him, when we first see him watching one, like, it's like some weird cross between like a very little kid's thing and Doctor Who. And then one of the characters turns the screen and starts detailing like instructional things about like high
Power?
Level math.
Okay, being a kid when I was a kid, it was Captain Power and Teddy Ruxpin. It's like the two of them combined.
Just crushed together.
Yeah, exactly. With everything that implies, like, budget-wise.
Yeah.
But Brigsby Bear is, like, literally a life-size Teddy Ruxpin who like, walks and talks and even has a cassette in the back of the mask.
Yeah, so we find out later. Yeah.
The mouth flaps, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, he's obsessed with him. Everything in his life is Brigsby Bear. His bed sheets,
it is the
all
only
the stuff
thing
in his room.
Life.
It is the only thing in his life. As far as he knows, that is the only show that exists. But when he's brought out in the real world, finds out that these people were people who abducted him when he was a very small child, which he doesn't remember at all. This is the only existence he's known. And his real parents out there have, like, finally are like, okay, like, we found you again. We're so happy to bring you back home. You would think we're watching the story of a person whose world is just shattered. And it's definitely changed,
right.
But he has this Brigsby Bear thing that he's not going to let go of. He's like, no.
Because it's the weird thing about Brigsby Bear all the way through. You come like, it's a kid's show.
Yeah.
But it's not like when you have, you know, the Smurfs or something like that, where you go, well, okay, like, they're in mild danger, but not really. It's like, the universe is pretty much regularly imperiled.
Yeah.
And it's clear, like, in the mythology that terrible things happen.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He's like, oh, my entire world is completely altered. What would Brigsby Bear do? He'd move on. He'd find a way to get through.
And the show aged with him, too. It's almost like the Harry Potter books that way.
Right. Yes. He even says at one point, it's like when someone else is watching an episode, it's like, oh, that's one of the ones for little kids. I mean,
when I was a little kid.
Yeah. You know, you should watch the later ones. They're better.
Yeah.
Like, what's bizarre about this is that, like, he brings some of the tapes out with him and let some people see them who are like, oh, this is totally amazing and weird and kind of charming, despite it, the whole production was put on by his parents who were paying for to go produce these episodes for years and years and years, his fake parents.
Yeah, they're basically like renting out like a cable access,
yeah,
like production room and themselves.
Watching all these people who are honestly kind of charmed by his passionate naivete, including Greg Kinnear, who is like the lead detective on his case, basically, who's just right off the bat, like, you can't not like this guy.
Yeah.
And then his sister, who's kind of like a proto-hipster, who's like ashamed of him, but then when she sees that everyone else he meets, like, of her friends, is like, oh, we love this guy. He's so great. Even she starts to come around.
Yeah, she cuts him some slack.
Yeah.
And his actual parents, played by Michaela Watkins, and one of my favorite underrated character actors,
Matt Walsh.
So good. As the
Upright Citizens Brigade.
Yeah, yeah. who is phenomenal.
And Veep.
And the thing is, this is such a weird concept that it would be easy for this to be cheesy or broad, or the character of James just becomes this laughing stock. This film draws you in to such a unique and charming and weird world in a way that really few other films in recent years have.
And weird, not in the sense of being abstract, mind you.
It absolutely makes sense. This is about it. This is, you know. And a lot of this comes down to Kyle Mooney, who knows exactly how far he can push James of being weird and awkward.
Yeah.
Without being kind of an alienating,
without
pastiche.
Being creepy.
Yeah, he's never creepy.
He walks a fine line.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's like, he's sad and awkward, but people like want to take them under their wing versus just like, that guy's creepy, I don't know about him.
Yeah, he's like, he learns quickly. He's not mentally damaged. Right. He's just, like, I mean, he was brought up in this world that, yes, had
as
some...
As he said, everything is so big.
Yeah. There's some strange
but he's
ideas.
Okay with that.
Yeah.
That's the great thing. You don't have the moment where he's like, oh, I'm terrified by the outside world, which would... That's the kind of thing that really distinguishes this script, is that it avoids all the cheap moments that you could go for.
Yeah, agreed.
And goes, you know, okay... That would be in, like, you know, him being amazed by the outside world would be like the cheap pop,
right?
And instead, it goes, okay, well, let's do something more interesting. Let's have more nuance. Let's have this be character driven. Let's have this be truly charming in a non schmaltzy way,
and also be a love letter very specifically to pop culture, the passion for pop culture and the passion for creating it.
I mean, it's a really weird pitch, though. It's like, hey, you know that weird Norwegian comedy Elling? Well, how about instead of poetry, Elling liked to make movies similar to Be Kind, Rewind, and instead of like a really abusive mother who kept him locked up because she was so bad, how about if they were parents who kidnapped him and made this show for him in private? Yeah, let's combine all those things. That'll be a great movie, and surprisingly, it works.
It really does. There was, I really can't think of anything in here that took me out of it, and I almost was waiting for that moment.
Yeah.
I was waiting for the time when it was going to do something that was ugly or uncomfortable, and at worst, you're just afraid for him, because we've seen this fish out of water in a way that's not broad comedy at all. But, you know, this guy who's an innocent put in among people who are experienced, and you keep waiting for that darker side of humanity to kick in, and it never does because it's just not that kind of movie. It's these people all finding in his passion, understanding it and sharing it. And as they go on and they decide to cooperate with him on his dream to make a movie to finish the Brigsby Bear story, yeah, you know, on his own, it just becomes exciting to watch. You really, yeah, are rooting for him. And
I think from a psychological capacity, like, you know, coming to grips with what happened to him is important. And, you know, even though his therapist played, like, Claire Danes doesn't seem to think that.
Yeah. Like, and neither do his parents.
Which I think Claire Danes, like, the only thing that I kind of have a problem with is just Claire Danes being like, okay, source of conflict. Like, we need at least one.
It was odd casting to put in such a recognizable face in that role.
I didn't mind that.
I just, because they don't really do much with her. She's just there as a signpost to make the plot do something, to set up what's happening here. Yeah. She's the one telling the parents how it should be and that their negative feelings are justified. Yeah.
But this thing that is making you, like, driving you to be more included, to socialize more, and to do things that are clearly making you happy must be bad. Like from that standpoint, you know, because you associate it with the life you escaped from, or you know, in this case, you know, we're pride from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think that it's not as well handled as it could be. But at the same time, like, I probably had a problem with the first time. This is a movie I will revisit, and I don't think I'll have a problem with the second.
Yeah. I didn't have a problem with those sequences because. Normally, because that was actually one of the points where it was riffing on what you expect to happen in this kind of film. Because you expect, you know, this is the moment where James is going to go, no, I got to give up on Brigsby.
Yeah.
And no, it still doesn't. It's still like, you know, that these weird life lessons that he learned really did set him up.
Right.
For life, and like his devotion to this is not just, you know, he's devoted to the show, but to what he learned from it. And this is a really, you know, for a movie, like I said, that could have been very mean-spirited.
Yeah. It's not a...
It's really...
Well, this had ended up, like, somehow...
It's filled with love.
Yeah.
And that's the one word
you've got to bring it. It's filmed with the same type of passion that James's character has itself. People who made this movie, which was Dave McCary, who's a longtime Saturday Night Live sketch guy.
Yeah, this is the weirdest SNL spin-off movie ever because it's kind of...
Doesn't feel like one at all.
It's
the Laser Cats kind of style is Brigsby Bear to a certain extent.
But it's kind of...
And you have the Lonely Island guys producing.
This is the weirdest thing. If you see when you're watching the credits, and I saw it anyway, it said Lonely Island Productions. I was like, oh, I know what this is going to be. And it's absolutely not.
Yeah, right. Agreed.
This is almost the polar opposite of you know what their humor is, which can be a little bit snide, a little bit condescending, and a little bit. It doesn't always work.
No, but this is innocent.
This is so
and feel good. It's I was saying it is this year's feel good weirdo movie.
Yeah,
you know, like Swiss Army Man was, or Ruby Sparks. It's one of those type of movies where you're like, oh, this is going to give me all the feels, and I will walk out with a giant smile on my face.
This is the anti Book of Henry.
Yes, it is.
This is like everything the Book of Henry did wrong is like mendacious and accidental mean spiritedness. This comes along and goes, the world is okay. You know, even if you are weird and awkward and an outsider, and it doesn't do that in kind of like it's okay to be a nerd kind of way. It's just like, you know what? You can still function, bring something kind of glorious.
And you know, I mean, yeah, so you're different. So you would be an outsider. Don't have fear. Have passion.
Yeah.
And people will respond to passion. And they do.
Yeah.
Thank God.
I won't say what she appears as, but there is yet another, speaking of, you know, great character actors, another great little small performance from Caitlin Scheel, who brings something rather wonderful to the closing section of the film. And just everything about this, it's one of those films that is so on a knife edge that it falls either way, it's gonna fail,
yeah,
and it doesn't. It's never cloying. It's never mean. It's really quite a remarkable little movie.
He gets it right all the way to the end. And I admit, I was tearing up towards the end. I was just like one of those, like, this is so exactly what I was wanted this movie to be, but couldn't have expected it to be.
And it is funny as well.
It is.
There are some genuine belly laughs in here.
There really are, but none of them are at the expense of being, like I said, absurd or something that we would believe this character wouldn't do. Everything James does, we believe is in character for him to do.
Yeah.
Can I just say as well how good Mark Hamill was in this?
Yeah, he's great.
Oh my God, he's just like, people forget what a great comic actor
he is. I can't wait for the extras so we can actually watch all the Brickley Bear footage they filmed just to hear him do all the voices.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But let's go to final thoughts. George, why don't you get us started?
I mean, I really like this. I think it's sweet all the way around. You know, it takes what could be a very dark concept, especially if mishandled, and it finds a sweetness in it, and it finds a way to make it just really engaging all the way through, and it's just good. I give it 8 of 10 80s cartoon theme songs that sound a lot like the Gummy Bears theme song.
Richard?
This is just one of those films that comes along, and you think, this is going to really, truly deserves a loving cult audience, but also to be seen by a broad audience, because this is there's just something charming and wonderful and heartfelt about this film. And this is me, the bitterest man in the neighborhood, saying that this is this is just a glorious, sweet movie. I give this a solid and heartfelt 9 out of 10 red Twizzlaws.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I think this is, there'll have to be some really great stuff coming out this year for it not to make my top 10, for sure.
Yeah.
I know this is a little indie film. It's not going to get a huge wide release. I encourage you to look around and see if it is playing in your town. If it is, you know who you are. You guys out there, a lot of you guys listen to One of Us, you are that passionate type. I'm telling you, I know, I can think of offhand 15 people I know who are going to see this, and this is like just my favorite movie of the last 15 years, who are just going to fall so madly in love with this movie because it'll be so utterly right up their alley. It's charming, it's funny, it's wildly creative. I couldn't recommend it more. It's funny. I recommend this as equally to a 14-year-old Doctor Who fan as I would to my mother. Just see it. You know, I think it's one of those ones going to appeal to a lot of people. I give it 9.5 out of 10 giant stores of batteries that Mark Hamill must have needed.
OneOfUs.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Bub, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to oneofus.net and don't forget your towel.